Thank you, Brother Michael. Hallelujah. Happy Sabbath. I got this book here, Electricity. Brother Michael is very familiar with that. We're going to try to tie that into this message. As you're going to see, some of the slides are not going to reflect the topic, but there's a message behind that also. So let us begin. And I got my papers right here, exactly where I want them. I want to share some information with you. Let me get them all together. So the truth equals hate speech. I don't know. I just went online and I typed in hate speech. You know, it seems to me, you know, that nowadays things that used to be right are wrong. And people like us, you know, we're going to be attacked if we're not being attacked already. But I just typed in hate speech. I come across an article from Matt Slick, and he's from an organization. It's called Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry, and it's only fitting that I go first. Ryan has a little more info than I do, but it just so happens that they're going to blend together. So hallelujah for that. Yahweh always manages to work that out for us. It has a couple of definitions here on hate speech. It says it is a term used by liberals in their attacks on Christians. Now, in some of these comments here, just take the word Christian and include believers in the word of Yahweh, or people that, you know, they go by the Bible. Maybe they don't attend a certain denomination, but they agree in the scriptures. They have common sense, something that is lacking in a lot of places. Dictionary.com defines this speech that attacks person or group on the basis of race, religion, gender, or sexual orientation. USAEducationGuides.com defines this as a term for speech intended to degrade, intimidate, or incite violence or prejudicial action against someone based on race, ethnicity, national origin, religion, sexual orientation, or disability. Definitions.USLegal.com says hate speech is a communication that carries no meaning other than the expression of hatred for some group, especially in circumstances which the communication is likely to promote violence or provoke violence. It is an incitement to hatred primarily against a group of persons defined in terms of race, ethnicity, national origin, gender, religion, sexual orientation, and the like. So if you notice, I circled race, religion, and sexual orientation. We can build on that alone. These three definitions have that in common. Now here, we have different races, okay? I might come from the island of Puerto Rico. Somebody else might come from Africa. But if you read in Acts chapter 10, Yahweh is not, you know, going to look on that. He's going to look on your heart. And America is pretty much built, you know, on immigrants. So you know what I mean by that. So it says here, so we can see that hate speech is that which attacks a person or group based on race, religion, gender, or sexual orientation, and it has the potential of inciting harm. Now, it says here, don't we Christians, and I put there, those who live by the commandments, have a right to our opinions. You know that saying, you know, where you're going to find two Jews, you got three opinions. We got our own opinions, but do they line up with the scriptures? Don't we have a right to exercise the freedom of our religious beliefs? That is our right. Yahweh gave us that. No one can take that away from us. And it says here, we do for now. We know in other places where they oppress people, they can't even speak their minds. But as you know, people that are incarcerated, you can't lock up somebody's mind. You know, they can still think whatever they want to think. It says here, that may change as a result of the hate speech of liberals, which is so often directed at Christians. Now, I didn't look this up, but there was a candidate the first time that Obama ran for office, and I found it pretty interesting. I don't even get into debates for some reason. I said, you know what, I'm going to watch this debate here, you know, and you have all these candidates. So they asked them, what is the first thing that you would do if you were the president of the United States? Now, think about it. Put yourself in his shoes. You're the president of the United States. You got a lot of power, prestige, and so on. What is the first thing you would do if you were the president? Well, this one candidate says, I would make it a law where if we speak truth against sin, basically, he was talking about if we speak out against sodomy, he's going to make it a law that you cannot do that. Now, I scratched my head. I said, wow, if I vote for you, that's the first thing you're going to do as a president? The nation is bankrupt and you're going to do that? Think about it. And you want my vote? Let's continue. It says here, they degrade and attack us, those who live by the word. You could be, there's Christians out there that are keeping the feast of Yahweh. They don't use his name, but let's recognize that. Okay? And basically, it's all about intimidation. Can I intimidate you? Do we all know about a religion that likes to intimidate you into submission? We know about that, right? It says here, they degrade our messianic lifestyle, which includes the right to disapprove of homosexuality, bestiality, pedophilia, polygamy, polyandry, pornography, etc. Even if we don't speak out against these things, it doesn't matter. It's in Yahweh's word. People are going to look at it. They're going to find it, especially if they're looking for it. So as the saying goes, you can't muzzle the ox. If you have animals, you cannot muzzle the ox while it's threshing. Yahweh has mercy on these animals. Think about it. So he has mercy on us. If we have a voice, we can use it. Let me go to the next section here. I'm going to share some pictures with you that I took. And the reason why I want to share these with you, I didn't have a chance to do that before. And since Feast of Unleavened Bread is coming, Feast of Tabernacles is a great feast, but so is Unleavened Bread. So let's not forget that. And we're commanded to rejoice in Yahweh's feast. And I'm going to go ahead and scroll and you'll see some more slides. And we're going to go ahead and we'll tie this in together. Over in Galatians 4:16, some of these I didn't put them out there all because I have a purpose behind that. You can write them down, look them up. But I give you a summary. It says there, Paul is speaking to the Galatians. Paul is chastising the Galatians in the same way that Yahweh is chastising us as a nation. This nation is being chastised. You can't look the other way and not see it. It says here, have we become the world's enemy because we try to live by Yahweh's word and then preach it? You're not just preaching Yahweh's word. You're trying to live it first because people see that. They can see through our hypocrisy when we're being hypocrites. So Paul says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So in any regard, whether you're a business person, whether you're keeping Yahweh's law, when somebody tells you the truth, how do you take it? Does it offend you? Does it make you upset? Does it make you want to repent? Does Yahweh's truth make you want to repent? That's a good question. Okay, so now, Yahweh's spirit works in any country. Any country. It could work in China. It could work in Russia. We know the stuff that's going on there. It could work in Syria if the people would be willing. Yahweh's spirit works in any language. We saw that in the book of Acts. His work gets done in any language. I could get up here and speak to you in Spanish. You won't understand maybe what I'm saying, but Yahweh's word will still get out there. So, as one brother likes to say, his truth never changes. It doesn't matter if it's 2014. Okay? It doesn't matter if it's Genesis 1:1. His truth never changes. Hallelujah for that. Even if we don't like Yahweh's truth, it doesn't change it. It doesn't change the fact. Also in John 15:18, I didn't get a chance to share these with you, so that's why I'm sharing them now. John 15:18, it says there, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So when people come to us with hatred, when you come around some people and you can just feel the vibrations of hatred, remember that Yahshua said the world hated him before it hated us. The scriptures say that Israel, they rebelled against Yahweh and the rock that followed them in the wilderness. You can read that 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1 all the way down to verse 11. I underline here, it says in verse 3, it says, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Messiah. Remember the scripture said that people hated Yahshua before it hated us. So if he was following them in the wilderness, they were hating him then. Hallelujah. But with many of them, Elohim was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. This is what we're talking about when people come in our midst and they're not really 100% with it. You know, they're just, you know, bouncing around. And we've seen people, I got to call them out. We've seen people that just come and they freeload. That's not going to benefit you any, especially with the way times are nowadays, the way deception is running rampant out there. 1 Corinthians 10:8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Yahweh as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. So listen, Yahweh blessed the congregation in the wilderness and they tested him 10 times. How about us? When we come together for a feast, especially tabernacles, you got to admit, tabernacles is an awesome feast. You come to find that out. You keep on keeping a feast. But it doesn't come without sacrifice. People sacrifice of their time, of their money. And we find ourselves complaining at the Feast of Tabernacles. Why? Because we can't bring all our belongings with us. We have to come with a clear conscience. We have to come with a spirit of rejoicing. And as Elder Randy would tell you, you got to contribute. You have to contribute. You have to humble yourself and contribute. I'll be the first one to admit, I don't have a problem throwing out the trash. It just doesn't bother me. I don't know. When you get paid to throw out trash, it doesn't bother you to throw out trash. You get paid to throw out trash? I mean, should it bother you? Scriptures also state that not all that have Israelite blood are of the seed of Abraham, meaning they are not of the seed of promise. This would apply to a lot of people who they can go back and they can show you their lineage, pretty much those from the tribe of Judah, but it doesn't mean that they're seed of promise. Why? Because this is what happened in the congregation in the wilderness. This is what is happening in our nation right now. Talking about hate speech. I get up here, I can tell you a good, nice little story. Somebody might find it offensive. It might be truth. They might not like it. It might hurt their conscience. But that's how it is. So we have to battle. Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. It reads, not as though the word of Elohim had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are of the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall they the seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Elohim, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. That's where we want to go. We want to be of the seed of promise. I'm not going to get into no discussions with people that are Muslims. You see, these are from a different seed, but it doesn't matter. If they repent, they can still join in Yahweh's people. So many in the wilderness, they were not Israelites, just like a lot of us, we just come and go. I mean, the elders here, they have seen it. Many people, they just come, they pass by, and they go. You know, that parable that Yahshua said, there was, you know, those four characters, you know, only one out of the four made it. Because the word took root and it bore fruit. So Gentiles are commanded not to boast. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, it really doesn't matter. It's all about keeping the commandments. So it is in our day. It's still the same. Now this scripture here, I mean, for me, this is my clincher. The scripture tells us, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Isaiah 5:20 reads, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Remember that candidate. Will you want that candidate to be your president? If this is the first thing that he has in mind to sign into law, that you can't actually speak out against immorality? I don't want no person like that as a president. But it's not up to me. So why do people who say they believe in the scriptures, they take it very, very personal when others who also believe in the word of Yahweh call sin exactly what it is? We read from the Torah, The Torah says, if you disobey, what's going to happen? You're going to be punished. Should that offend me? Should I make a law against that? So the question is, why do you get offended if you say you believe in the scriptures and I call sin what it is? Can it be that in our fleshly mind we try to be so compassionate and the adversary blinds us so that we actually don't love the truth? We're commanded to be compassionate. A lot of times I have a hard time being compassionate with some people. I'm sure some of them, they just return the favor, you know. It's no problem to them. But we can't be so compassionate that we can't speak out against immorality. Oh, but I love this person. This person is so nice to me. They do so many things for me. What does the scripture say? We read in the Torah, if you investigate and you find out that there's people worshiping other mighty ones, what is your job to do? Well, we can't do that in our day and age. We can't go stoning people, you know, because we would be part of the people being stoned, right? But you get the idea. The idea in Leviticus 19:18, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't partake in his sins. Rebuke the person. If I'm sinning, rebuke me. Rebuke me lovingly, hopefully, if that's the case. That way we can repent. And that really shows love. That shows love when the mom and the dad correct their children in the right way. That way when others bring something to their attention, they say, you know what, yeah, it's true. My mom and dad told me, you know, not to do that. And I'm going to go ahead and listen to you. We find that in our day and age, that's not the case. When growing up, that was the case. You obeyed your elders. It doesn't matter if he was family or not. If he told you this is wrong, then that's wrong, you know. So, hallelujah. And that's where our aim is at. You know, we want the youth, we want the young generation, you know, to learn to do things the right way. Psalms 133, verse 1. What does that read? It says there, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together. It's a lot better when we dwell together, when we're keeping the truth of Yahweh, the way that it should be kept. Any other way, there's chaos and confusion. Going back to that article, it reads here, by labeling people groups, example, Christians or believers, in negative ways, it makes it easier for one group, liberals, to hate another, to become emotionally detached, increasingly irrational, and potentially violent. Sometimes we get angry because, you know, some people, they want to do things their own way, and we look at the scripture, we say, that's not right. So with those thus indoctrinated by hate speech or liberal hypocrisy, which modern societies seem to embrace so readily, treat the Christians or people who believe in the scriptures with love and kindness or with fear and intimidation? How did they treat Yahshua? We were going through the Bible study. You read those portions of scriptures just before they killed Yahshua. How did they treat Yahshua? What did the politician say? He asked him, what is truth? Come on, you're a leader in your nation and you don't know what the truth is? You got to ask that to the Messiah? You're in a position of leadership? You don't know what truth is? What, they've been bribing you all your life? So which couplet brings peace and which one brings persecution? There's a lot of uprising out there, but there's a lot of people that are in a certain group, in a certain sect of religion, that they're probably more peaceful than some of Yahweh's people. You know what I mean? So this gentleman ends this discussion here. He says, finally, it is not bigoted, narrow-minded, or hate speech to say we follow, he says, their God, we say Yahweh, and believe that homosexuality, pornography, pedophilia, rape, adultery, etc. are all wrong. We are expressing the freedom of our religion. That's a gift that Yahweh gave us. Take advantage of it. In spite of what the liberals or whoever is publishing hate speech, fear, and foment, rest assured, fellow brethren, or it says they're Christians, it is for righteousness and truth that we are persecuted, reviled, mislabeled, and falsely accused by those who seek to sit in judgment over our faith. So people, they say that we publish hate speech, but basically it goes back to muzzling the ox. First, we want to read the scriptures. Second, we want to put them into practice. And then for others, it's their job to evangelize. It's their job to go anywhere. It doesn't matter where it is. It doesn't matter if it's a hostile situation. They go there just like a military person, and they preach the word. If they get killed, then so be it. They did it for Yahweh's purpose. Some of the prophets got killed, so why should it surprise us? Yahshua got killed. Why did Yahshua get killed anyway? I mean, besides dying for our sins to cleanse us, to cleanse you and I, to cleanse the stranger down the street that doesn't know anything, why did he come to do Yahweh's will? What was the purpose of it? Did he come to waste his time? Oh, I'll just go and show off and say that I'm the Messiah. That's not what he came to do. He came to humble himself, to show us how we could keep Torah better. Because he saw the situation. He saw the priesthood, how they weren't doing it the right way. So listen, no matter what sin you or I, or a worldly pagan, or a heathen, or an agnostic, or an atheist, or even a Satan worshiper commit, it is an act of rebellion against Yahweh and his son, Yahshua. No matter what sin we commit, it's rebellion against Yahweh. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. And Samuel said, had Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, to listen. When you listen, when you pay attention, you do things that you're told, than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Insert yourself in that scripture there. If we reject the word of Yahweh, he rejects us from coming into his kingdom. He has no use for us. So as I was going to say, this book here, talking about electricity, you think, what does this have to do with anything? Well, you look at magnetic poles. You take a magnet, take two magnets, put them together. If they repel each other, that means you got they're the same. That means they're similar. If they're opposite, they attract. Think about it, north and south. So isn't it logical that a man should be attracted to a woman? They're different. Yahweh made them that way. It's the same in magnetism. You're talking about opposites. They're attracting. That's how they should be done. That's how Yahweh set it up. That's why he's smarter than we are. That's why his ways are higher than ours. Think about it. You don't do the same. It doesn't work. You can't procreate. That's what marriage is for, to procreate. So the adversary rose around like a lion. You know, he's out there. Some people forget it. Seeking whom he may devour. He accuses us day and night. These guys are wrong. They don't know what they're saying. Believe in Yahweh, because if we have faith in him and Yahshua, he can heal us of our sicknesses. He can heal us of our pain. He can even heal us of unbelief. If we submit to him, he can and will open our eyes to his truth and deliver from the grip of Hasatan. Better yet, to the bondage of sin. People are in bondage to sin. They love it. They say, I was born this way. You weren't born that way. You didn't even know how to walk when you were born. How could you be born a certain way? You're just using that as an excuse. In 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, it reads there, you know that wicked people will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, don't you? Stop deceiving yourselves. Sexual immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, greedy people, drunks, slanderers and robbers will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. This is what some of you were. This is hope. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Master, Yahshua the Messiah, and by the Spirit of our Elohim. So remember, sexual sins are against the body. All other sins are outside the body. Okay, and then you have two lists here. So if I tell a thief, or a greedy person, or a drunk, or a slanderer, or a robber, that he will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Is that hate speech? May Yahweh bless you.